Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. Turn. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning to you. Let's receive. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all. Thank you.
today. Woo!
I want to see you.
I
Our children can be released to Sunday school, but before you sit down, say good morning to somebody. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, everybody seems so excited this morning. That's great to see everyone. I am not Jack. Just so you know, Jack is away this week, and we're very excited. We have Mike Brandon with us again this morning, so we'll be looking forward to hearing from him a little bit later, but Jack will be back later today, so he's just away with the family for a weekend, so... Anyway, I want to welcome every visitor here today and everyone else. But if you're a visitor with us, as we always say, we don't believe you're here by accident. We think that God placed you here. So we pray that you would have a great experience while you're with us today. If you didn't receive a card, or if you did, please fill that out and put it in the offering plate, because we love to be able to stay and connect with you. And we've got a small gift for you out here if you do that. So, okay, a couple things in your insert today. Today is Operation Christmas Child Dedication Sunday. Yay! All right. Yeah, we've been working on this for a number of weeks now, and you see the stack is rising. We've got a big goal this year of 150, and we hope that everybody participated. Our Sunday school is going to be packing some more, and at the end of the service, we're going to have a dedication for that. If you're sitting here and going, oh, no, I forgot. Don't panic, okay? Don't panic. Just see Liz. Liz is back here. She's waving her hand. Don't worry. We still have time to do it. So if you haven't, that's right. We'll make another delivery. So don't panic. And definitely, if you haven't and you wanted to, definitely take the time and do it this week. So that's that. And we'll be talking more about that as the time goes on. If you go to your sheet, there's a couple other things I wanted to point out. As you guys received some slips when you came in with information about our database, we're updating our database for the church. If you can help us with that, that would be great, and fill that out. If you fill it out and stick it in the offering plate, we'll collect those, or you can go online and do it. It's really important that we have the right information for you so that we're not sending the wrong things or calling the wrong people when there's a need to. You can see some things about trustees meetings coming next Sunday. Also, I wanted to make a note, December 9th, ladies, mark your calendar for Dining for Women's Christmas Party at Judy's house. It's going to be lots of fun. It always is. And they're going to do an ugly sweater contest in addition to the normal stuff they do. So if you have any questions, see Judy. Judy, raise your hand. There's Judy. All women are welcome. Sorry, men. You can figure out a party on your own. A couple other things I wanted to mention. Those of you that participated in the coat drive, thank you. That was a thing that a number of people thought they were going to have an audacious faith goal to go out and collect coats. They received 220 coats. Isn't that awesome? And their coats, the goal was 200. So it was they set an audacious goal of 200, and God blew it away. So it's awesome. Thank you for your participation in that. Today is Parish Foundation. And we also have on December 20th, you good? Okay, she's good. So if you want to participate in that, Mike will talk more about that. He definitely knows a little bit about that organization. And then last but not least, one other important thing, we have our Thanksgiving box drive that we've been running concurrently, and we've got one more week. And our goal is to bless 30 families. Jack set the bar at 40, and we're well on our way. We need 45 now, okay? So the need is greater. We need more people to participate. If you want more information, see Donna after church in the lounge. She's got the information of what's needed for a box. Do you have boxes today? And there are also boxes. If you need boxes to use to pack yours, that would be great. Okay, hang on a second, Judy. And then we have I lost my train of thought. Okay, the other thing is next week, if anyone is interested in helping, we got permission from the Northeast Walmart to stand out and give slips for people if they wanted to buy something for these boxes, you know, when they go in for buying. And we're going to have folks from 10 to 2 out there. If you're interested and willing to help out with that, see Donna as well. We'd love to have some help out there, especially some kids and teenagers and stuff as well. Okay, so we've got a short video, and then Judy, I'll come back to you, okay?
Oh, man. I'm so hungry, these flowers are starting to look appetizing.
I'm gonna eat like a pig.
I'm gonna gobble up that turkey.
I can eat one whole apple pie.
I can eat all the stuffing right now.
6 hours later.
I'm stuffed. Ugh, my stomach hurts.
I'm so full.
I can't move. It hurts a lot.
I ate like a horse.
Thanksgiving food drive. Give so it doesn't hurt.
Don't eat like a pig.
Or a horse. Oh, man. I'm so hungry.
This is a repeat. So the point of that, and give him a hand. The point of that is our kids helped pack that, and they really felt like it was such an important thing. They wanted to do a video and show you all how important it is. So get involved. The horse was kind of strange, but anyway. No horse meat, just turkey. So anyway, get involved. Next week, everything here, turkeys, the whole thing, will have coolers. So bring it and participate in that. One more announcement from Judy.
I got a letter finally from the Cecil County Pregnancy Center, and our baby bottle drive, say that several times. This year we raised $732.33. That's the most we've ever got. So next year we're going to aim for 1,000. Okay? Thank you.
All right, great. Let's go to a time of prayer now. Fred, you take that.
Forgive me if I read names wrong. I'm not real good at pronouncing names. This is from Joanne. This is for Joan Colosimo. This is for lift her up for congestive heart failure. And the Colosimo family and the Onifer family dealing with a lot of sickness. Luanne Neves, colon cancer. And Wayne Sutton, or I think that's what it says, or Sutton, having surgery on Tuesday. This is from Kate Allen, from her grandfather, Henry, who had a heart attack. On Monday, they'll do tests to find blockage. This is from Melinda Prentice, Lois Prentice has had a stroke and is in the hospital, room 315. She will go to rehab next. And this is from Mike Rowland. His son has blockages in his neck and has to go to Johns Hopkins. So let's lift all those up in prayer. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Dear Lord, we just ask your blessings upon those who are sick, for those that we carry in our hearts and in our minds, for those that didn't get written down and brought up. Lord, you know who those people are that are in need. Lord, there's the ones that are the families that are suffering in Paris, around the world, for those that have to make the heavy decisions that need to be made right now, for all those that are just suffering, Lord Jesus, we ask that you just bless all those people. Lift them up. Lord, just help free us all from the burdens and the bondages that we're dealing with. Lord, we need your love more than ever. And Lord, just, you know, we can't do it without you right now. And so many people just can't seem to figure that out, and we need an awakening today more than ever. Lord, just shower down the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we need so much. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
The streets are quiet. I welcome it. It allows me to think. This is the kind of night that lets you forget. Unfortunately, I can't forget. Unfinished business. It haunts me worse than the picture of my ex. It's those cases. The cases nobody else wants to deal with, but always seem to land on me. Each case worse than the last, a collection of rogues that make the hair on the back of your neck stand up like little toy soldiers. Just holding their files makes my skin crawl. But somebody has to deal with them. I'm determined to solve them. Determined to deal with the difficult personalities. Determined to reach out.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. I was waiting for the next cool video to come up. Amen. Well, if you're glad you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Lord's given us a beautiful day and a wonderful opportunity to gather in fellowship. Great crowd today. I can tell summer's over. I think the last time I was here was probably warm weather, and a lot of folks are still traveling. So pray for Pastor Jack and his family. Saw some great shots on Facebook yesterday. They were having a blast, and the Mountaineers won. They won the game, so you know he's going to be flying high when he gets back. Amen. Well, interesting topic today, and it's a sobering one. But just as with all of the challenging passages we read, especially the teachings of Christ himself, there's always the opportunity for a happy ending. Don't you love going to friendlies, and you have the happy endings, right? The Sunday, that's what I live for. Just bring me the happy ending. I'm going to the back of the book, see who wins. I don't have to spend all that time reading the rest of it, right? Some of us are like that. But the passage in Matthew 18 that you have in your bulletin, I don't know if my eyes will hold up with that small a print, but it's the story of the unjust steward. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. And it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Father, I pray this morning as we spend a few moments in your scripture and meditate on what you have taught, that these words might take root in our lives. Lord, that your spirit might bring them to that very place that they are most needed in our lives, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, resulting in our actions, and that we might be changed, conformed to the image of your dear Son. For it's in his name, the name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen and amen. The unforgiving ones, the promo for this message today that I read online that Pastor Jack had put up posed some interesting questions, and it talked about what you're dealing with, the usual suspects. What about those folks in our lives who just can't let it go? Maybe you need to take them to see Frozen. I don't know. Maybe that would help. Okay? Letting it go. Forgiving. Now, it's one thing to have somebody that we're familiar with that just has that spirit of unforgiveness. A lot of times we can sort of work our way around folks like that. Can't we? I mean, we all have coping skills for difficult situations, including difficult people in our lives. And so we develop ways to avoid those folks or to minimize contact or to keep things superficial when you're dealing with them, because it's just really not worth the aggravation to go any deeper. But what about when that person's in your own household? What about when that's someone that you've grown up with, maybe a spouse, a parent, a sibling, someone that you've spent some significant time, and you begin to see that root of bitterness, that unforgiving spirit beginning to envelop them and overtake them? How do we live with them? How do we live with them? Well, I would offer three P's, if you will, for the pod. The first is perseverance. Philippians 4:13 is a promise from God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of God that dwells within you. And that power, that enabling of the Spirit of God on the Word of God says that you can do this. You can persevere. You can hang in with that person. Is it easy? Never. Is it commanded? I believe so. The weapons that we have at our disposal include the second P in the pod, and that's prayer. That's prayer. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Some key words in there. We have to have our heart right first before we can even begin to deal with somebody else's issues. Is that not right? Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've gone up against that kind of opposition, and what has happened is through that encounter, you've discovered that there's some things in your life, some things in my life that need to be addressed. What can I control? I can't control somebody else's attitude. I can't control their response to my entreaties. I can't. What I can control is what I do with my life. And so the third P would be patience. Patience. And again, there is a promise, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength in due time. In due time. Because to live with folks who have that unforgiving spirit can be a daily challenge. And if you're caring for someone, perhaps that's in a weakened condition physically, it can be sometimes moment by moment where we have to hunker down spiritually. We have to persevere. We have to engage in prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And if you've been in those situations, you know that that's what it is. Like almost every thought in your mind, you're wrestling with it because you don't want to succumb to anger. You don't want to succumb to frustration. You don't want to lash out. You want to be the person God wants you to be. You want to do what God wants you to do. And so you pray, Lord, give me strength. Has anybody ever prayed that? Lord, give me strength. Amen. And then to trust God enough to be patient, and allow him to work in that situation. Allow him to work first in your life and then hopefully, prayerfully, to work in that other person's life. How are we to love them? We're to love them as Christ loved his own, as he loves us, as he loves the church. We're to love sacrificially. Just having that person in our lives and not cutting them off, not turning our back on them, is the first step. It's facing that situation and facing them and facing our own fears and doubts and our own frustrations. We're reminded that it's Christ's unconditional love that saves us, and it's his unconditional love that keeps us It's not our good deeds that keep us in that relationship. It's our obedience to him. It's our keeping short accounts with him. It's the confessing our faults one to another. It's that aspect of our walk with him that allows us the ability to stand when all seems hopeless, when somebody seems, when you just want to say, you know what, I want you out of my life. I'm done with you. I can't stand to be around you. Love is Christ's love. Because the bottom line for us is always, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because you see, from God's perspective, not one of us is worthy of his solicitation and certainly not of his suffering on the cross. Not one of us. For there is none righteous, no, not one. It's a sobering thought. But it is the thought that if we allow the Spirit of God, if we engage in prayer, if as we're persevering in that situation and dealing with that difficult person, if we allow God that opportunity, if we don't shut him out, if we don't grieve the Spirit, that he can remind us of his great love for us. And isn't that how it often works? That just at that moment, when we seem to be at our breaking point, God sends a sign. A call from the grandkids out of the blue. A pat on the back at work from the boss from HE Double Hockey Sticks. Something that God brings, a sunset, a sunrise. A latte dropped off by a friend at work. All the above, I hope so, for you. But in this story, there's some interesting things in this parable that Jesus teaches that really force us back to the issue of who is our master? Who do we serve? What are we doing with what he's entrusted to us? Because this servant, these servants, had been entrusted with the resources of the master, obviously. They had done business on the master's behalf. It was not uncommon. In fact, it was common for the household servants and the stewards and those that had different responsibilities for the rich and the noble in Jesus' day to conduct things that way. They would be entrusted with different aspects of the master's interests and holdings. But there would be an accounting. There would be an accounting. There would be a time when the master would return and say, I want to see the books. That's exactly what takes place here. Jesus is using that picture that was very well understood by the people that Jesus was speaking to in his day. It's time to settle up. Now, you may not be able to pick up from the text the difference in the amounts, but depending on whose commentary you read, the amount that this unjust servant owed was substantial. Like, keep adding zeros, substantial. Compared to the amount that his fellow servant owed him, which was pocket change. Well, if you're broke, you're broke, right? Might as well be 100, might as well be 100,000, might as well be 100 million. When you're broke, you're broke. And so what is it that this servant asks for? He asks for mercy. He asks for mercy. And it says that the master had pity on him. The King James, the word is the compassion. He had compassion for him. Sometimes we look at pity, and pity in our day has a negative connotation. And here it's not that at all. It's this compassion. He was moved by the entreaty. He was at heart merciful. Because our Father in heaven is merciful. He wants us to come in line. He wants us to do the right thing. He wants us to want to do right and to do the right thing, even more importantly. The cry for mercy. Let's think about what mercy really is. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Simple as that. Mercy. Now, let's not confuse it with grace, because we're going to get to grace in a moment. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. This man deserved to be punished. He deserved to have his assets wiped out. He deserved to be dealt with because he, in fact, had that debt. He had squandered the resources of the master. He had not been faithful. The Bible tells us that it's required of a steward to be faithful. And so he squandered it. It came to light. And he begged for mercy. And it was mercy that moved the master. But it was grace that was the consequence of this transaction. Because he not only said, okay, I'll give you more time. That's what the man asked. He said, give me time. Be patient. Let me work this out. I'll pay it. He was so moved by this man's cry for mercy that he not only postponed it, he canceled the debt. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I'm thinking about preaching this morning. I don't know. I was just going to chat with you, have a Snapchat, but I don't. That's about as far as I can get. Anybody under 30 knows what a Snapchat is. The rest of you read about it on Google. Mercy's not getting what we deserve, but he received grace, getting what we don't deserve. The debt was canceled. You and I have had our debt, our sin debt, canceled on the cross of Jesus Christ. But it was mercy that got us there. It was mercy that got us to the foot of the cross. And it's grace that allows us to get up off our knees and walk away forgiven. Forgiven. Grace. Grace. God's grace. We have to visit mercy before we can get to grace, if you will. And so when we experience not just mercy, but we receive God's grace, there ought to be a change in us. There ought to be something that changes us, that we ought to be transformed by that grace. Romans chapter 12 talks about making our bodies a living sacrifice. But the idea is that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We change our thinking when we experience grace. It's the aha moment. So that's what God's all about. So that's what he wants from me. He doesn't want to hold me on a string. He's not a puppet master. Some folks have this picture of God as this capricious, manipulative being that well, if I don't do this or do this the right way or say this or don't do this or don't do that, that God's going to bring something bad into my life or he's going to take something away from me. And so often we put ourselves in God's place and we look at situations in our own lives and sadly in the lives of others, which is what gets us into a lot of trouble, and we say, well, that must be because, just as folks did in Jesus' day, why is this man suffering? Why is he blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? Jesus said the reason he's suffering is to teach you a lesson. Because I'm going to relieve his suffering, but I'm going to punish you if you don't learn the lesson. If you harden your heart. And that's what's so frightening about those in our lives that we might call the unforgivers. Because we know, having been forgiven, having cried out for mercy and received grace in our own lives, we see that one and we know that until they cry out for mercy, they'll never experience that grace. And the clock is ticking. Now, a lot of times when we're young, we can blow things off, blow people off, and just kind of walk away from it and go back to our own business. But as the clock ticks in our lives and as we realize that this life must end, we become much more focused on those whom we care about, those whom we encounter who have that unforgiving spirit, because the promise is unless you forgive, and here as Jesus says, unless you forgive as the Father has forgiven you, there won't be any grace. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples said, teach us to pray. He says, okay, pray for your daily bread. And oh, by the way, mercy, pray for your daily bread. Pray for those that owe you. Pray for your debtors. Pray for those that trespass against you. Right? Because we need to learn to forgive them. if we're going to experience God's forgiveness in our lives. If I want that forgiveness, if I want that peace, if I want to be able to settle my account today with God, then I've got to be willing to do that for others. I've got to be willing to forgive others. Not on the basis of anything that they've done or not done, but on the basis of the cross, on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, on the basis of what he's done for me. And so it really does get back to us. We need to turn the light back on ourselves. I think about the work we do at the Paris Foundation. It just seems that whenever Pastor Jack's away and I come and fill this spot, it's Haven's night to serve. Amen? I love it. I love it. God puts that together. The calendar just, all the days run together because we're open 365 days a year. And I'm there for the vast majority of that. And the days sometimes can run together. And then it's nice when God gives me that reminder, sort of a little exclamation point on how good and how gracious he really is to me. But it also reminds me when I look at the scripture and I'm faced with a topic like this of how human I am, of how much I need his forgiveness each and every day. And so when someone breaks the rules, when someone misbehaves, when someone acts up at the Paris Foundation, part of my responsibility is to protect the ministry, to protect others that are there, volunteers and guests as well. It's up to me to enforce the rules. That's my responsibility. We have very few. We post them. We remind them every evening of the key things that we ask them to do. But sometimes stuff happens. And it's my responsibility to deal with that. It might be something as simple as using a little bit of language from the street that we ask them to leave outside. And I'll come over and I'll hear it at the table, and I'll just kind of drift around, and I'll come over, and I'll tap somebody on the shoulder, and I'll say, language? Or just give them the raised eyebrow, the old, did you really just say that? Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Mike. I'm sorry, Pastor Mike. And that's usually where it ends. That's it, just a reminder. No major consequences. Now, if it keeps up, I'm going to have to go the next level and say, if I hear that again, you're going to have to walk up to McDonald's for dinner because you're not going to be able to stay here. But when a situation escalates or a situation is at a little higher level, it's a different story. Because if somebody's engaging in a heated verbal argument, if they're getting loud, if they're disturbing and disrupting the whole process, or threatening physical violence. In 2.5 years, though, I have to give God the praise. In 2.5 years, we've only had one physical altercation that's actually taken place inside the building while we were open. We have a better record than the Acme. Truth. Truth. And no blood was spilled. I was able to get past Fred, who was working at Fred's speed, if you know Fred. He was kind of working his way with his tray, and so I had to get from the microphone to the line, and it went from agitating to a couple throwing punches across, you know, sort of like Fred Sanford, hold me back, Lamont. A couple of those. TV Land, kids, check it out.
Getting old, boys and girls.
So I broke it up. You know, it's nothing new. I spent 18 years as a cop. You get in the middle, you put this pair over here, you take this pair over here. I got the two guys out that were instigating. I got the other two that were just as happy to contribute their part to it and got things settled down. But, you know, they had to leave. Now, I've learned enough not to send them all out the door at the same time because then I've got to deal with it outside. And I don't have as much leverage outside. But diffuse the situation, let it go. Well, as a result, those folks were banned. They were told, you may not come back in here because of this, because of the serious nature of it. At least at this point. Now, being a pastor and no longer being, you know, the cop, that my heart is softened to folks in need. And I have to remember then that these are broken people we're serving, broken people we're working with, people who don't have the same resources spiritually, mentally, and emotionally that others may have. And so, since I'm part of the community, I'll encounter these folks. I'll see them on the street. And usually after a period of time, somewhere along the line, they'll approach me. They'll see me coming in the door. They'll stop me by my truck. They'll see me over at the by the dollar store picking up supplies or something. And they'll approach me. And this has happened several occasions where I've had to say to folks, you have to leave. You can't stay. You can't come back here. And they'll approach and they'll say, I'm really sorry. I know you're not going to let us back in, but just wanted you to know that we're sorry and we know that we didn't mean disrespect. And, you know, they'll give me the story of how it happened, whatever, you know. And, you know, at that point, I become Peter and I ask the Lord, how many times should I forgive these folks? And I hear the words of Jesus, a whole lot more than you're doing right now, buddy. If they've come with a contrite heart, if they've come with a repentant spirit, when they've come and asked for mercy, who am I not to grant them grace? Because I can tell them, I forgive you, but you still can't come in. Or as the Spirit of God leads, I can say, I've already forgiven you. Would you like to come back? Knowing what the conditions are, knowing that a second chance is a last chance. And so of the few, it's really only a handful of people that we've had to disinvite, as it were, in the several years that we've been there. There's only one fellow who's not been reinstated. And he's a fellow who stole. We had it on video, at least enough to confront him with it. We gave him an opportunity to make the person whole that he had taken from. He denied it. Even when confronted with the evidence, denial's a powerful tool of the devil. And as a result, we had to say to him, then our relationship is severed. We're finished with you. Until you make that person whole, that make restitution, until you do that, you cannot have the benefit of our fellowship. As it turned out, from what I understand, he moved out of the area and it became a moot issue. But for the other folks, having them come, having them beg for mercy, as it were, moves me, because I realize that they haven't broken my law. Those aren't my rules. They haven't offended me personally. And if they've dealt with what they need to deal with in their own heart, if they've come to the realization that that was not acceptable, it was wrong, and they've dealt with it there, and they come to me, the next step, as the Spirit of God moves. And it wasn't always that way. It wasn't always that way in my life. You know, earlier on, even in ministry, if somebody crossed the line, you know, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I got a lot of other people here that want to do the right thing and move forward. I'm done with you. But again, God is good. And over time, I've learned to forgive even those that have wounded me the most deeply. Forgive them. I'm not in a position to dispense any grace to them at this point because I don't have that kind of a relationship with them. But given the opportunity, I have to trust that the Spirit of God would lead me to be gracious to them. So we come full circle. How do we live with or alongside of someone with an unforgiving spirit? How do we love them? We need to keep mercy and grace in the forefront. We need to remember what those words have meant in our lives. Because truly, as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because he has a higher purpose for us. Verse 10 gives us that purpose. He says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So I would hope that as you consider mercy and grace, as you consider your strategies, if you will, for dealing with folks that may be in your life, that you would remember God's strategy for dealing with you, yourself. I remember his strategy in dealing with me. It was to go to the cross and die for my sins. Remember the two thieves on the cross next to Jesus? The one that says, King James says, railed at him. If you're the Messiah, get us out of here. Get us down off of here. Set us free. And the other thief said, better watch yourself. We're up here because we deserve to be up here. He was crying for mercy, the other fellow. No, we're up here because we deserve to be up here. And he simply turned to Jesus and he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Grace greater than all our sin. So let's not give up on those that have that number one spot of, boy, I hope I don't see them today in our daily lives, right? Try to get there, the parking lot, see who's parked. Oh, his car's here already. Let me go around the block one more time. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe she's waiting in line at Starbucks. I'll come back later. Just saying. Let's remember. That's all the scripture does. It brings to mind these things every time we come to scripture. You know, when you see something over and over and over again, it's like eventually there ought to be an aha moment. You know, forgive others as God has forgiven you. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. How has God forgiven me? He said, my sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. I've been forgiven. Totally, completely, all my sins. And so on that basis alone, I can be gracious to others. Think about the consequences. Think about the benefits of restored relationships. Maybe you could testify and talk about a situation where that's exactly what's happened and you've seen God work in that way, where you've been patient and persevered and prayed for someone, and by God's grace, he's dealt with them, and down the road, and then their heart has changed, and their attitude has changed, and their lives have changed, and you've been blessed by it. We don't know what God's plan is for others. We know what we need to do with what he's given us. And I'll close with an anecdote from just the other night at the Paris Foundation. There was a couple who have just recently come back to us to avail themselves of the blessings in the evening meal. And they had been away for a little time because they had been involved in a criminal act with another person at another facility. They had been along for the ride, so to speak. Lesser degree of culpability, but involved and responsible nonetheless. Without that other person who was sort of the ringleader, with that person incarcerated, these two folks had to kind of make their way back in life and into the community with the stigma that they had done this thing and they weren't to be trusted. Well, as is the case with many of the folks that we minister to, there are other issues involved, drugs, alcohol, mental health issues, other things, other factors, none of which give anybody a free pass. You know, the rules are the rules. And I say, if you have a question about it, there it is. While you're waiting in line, read them. It's not like you don't know. People know. But stuff happens. And so they got themselves caught up in this situation. They have to bear the responsibility. They came back, and they didn't break my law. They didn't do me harm. And they have come back now with a little different attitude. And as I found out, by having them come back in, knowing full well that they're under watchful eyes, they understand, to have them seek me out to find out when one of the folks from one of the recovery programs that come to us every week and share and reach out, when is that person coming back? When is their meeting? When do they have that recovery meeting? And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, it's Friday night, and it's over here, and that person will be here on Friday. And they, oh, good, because we want to go to the meeting. And I'm like, oh, that's a little change. Great. Wake-up call. Then to take it even further, they're waiting on the porch Friday night for the ride to come because they had connected with this person, and he was all excited that they wanted to come to the meeting. And he said, I'll pick you guys up. So I hung around after we cleaned up, and I made sure, you know, that they weren't just left there or that they drifted off and got discouraged. And, oh, well, I guess this guy's not coming. So one of them comes back inside while I'm in the office and says, Pastor Mike, we're waiting for so-and-so, but there's a needle out front here. Hypodermic needle, a syringe, sitting out front. Well, we have zero tolerance for drugs and alcohol, as many of you know, on site. Now, these are people who 6 weeks ago would not only have picked that needle up, but probably would have used it before the night was out and shared it with one another because it was intact. Somebody had dropped it out of their kit. But they called me. They didn't even want to touch it. See where I'm going with this? They didn't even want to touch it. They called me. I went out. I secured it. I destroyed it. I got rid of it right in front of them. And the one comment, the young lady said, as they were smiling, laughing, hey, we didn't want to have anything to do with that. We used to do that, but we don't anymore. Yes. God's grace. God's grace. Only God knows the final chapter in their story. But I can't help but think that God is true to his promises. The scripture says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I see these folks now having that little bit of grace extended, allowing them back into this arena, if you will, that they are now experiencing God's grace in new ways and in new forms, and that will result in new life for them. And isn't that the bottom line? Isn't that why we serve? So my words this morning as I close are words of encouragement. I also would share with you that what Paul says before we were ever to take the elements at the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, so let a man examine himself. I think that's our responsibility every day, but especially when we are dealing with others who are difficult, we need to remember that God sees us as sinners in need of a Savior. Would you bow with me in prayer for just a moment as the praise team comes? And just reflect for a moment in the quietness of your own heart what it means to experience God's grace, what it's meant to you, and how much it would mean for that one with the unforgiving spirit in your life, what it would mean for them to be able to say, I used to do that, but not anymore. Perhaps you've never experienced that grace, that saving grace that we talked about. Today may be your day. Perhaps you've been sitting here today and you've been thinking, why is he talking about me? How does he know? I don't know, but God does. That's why he brought you here today. You had a divine appointment with grace. How do we receive that grace? How do we get to that place? We do it by being honest with ourselves and with God. Beginning with, I am a sinner. Take that. Own that. Be responsible for it. I am a sinner. And I know I can't save myself. But I believe that what Jesus did on the cross was sufficient to pay my sin debt. And I'm sorry for that sin, and I'm sorry that it put him on the cross. And I ask God that you would forgive me on the basis of his sacrifice. And God, I trust by faith that my sins are forgiven because you are a forgiving God if I ask, and if I ask with a right heart. God, I want that today. I want that peace. I want to learn to forgive others as you now are forgiving me. Trying to be sensitive to the Spirit of God here this morning. And I don't want to embarrass anybody or make them feel put upon in any way, but if you need prayer this morning, if there's a burden on your heart, if your heart feels like it's bursting right now and you don't know what to do with it, that's why we're here. That's why the body of Christ exists. I'm going to invite you to just come over here to either side of the platform. Just slip out of your seat and just come. I don't need to know. Prayer counselors, we don't need to know what it is you're dealing with unless you choose to share that. But just know that we're here and God's here to forgive, and we want to pray with you. I want to give you that opportunity as the band plays. If you need prayer, please come.
Yesterday, I need you more.
out today, is there any doubt that there's anything we need more than Jesus? I mean, I look at this weekend, and when I look at my own life, I say the same thing. Is there anything more that I need than Jesus? He's all we need. We're going to have our children come in with the Operation Christmas Child boxes. And Mike, we'd love to have you bless that for us. Looks like they've been busy.
Yeah.
Is the season for giving, and it looks like the future of Haven is in good hands here. Look at all these wonderful young people. Give them a hand. Praise the Lord for these young people. I hope you boys and girls understand that what you do with this pleases God. God is happy. He's smiling right now because he knows your hearts. You've been so generous to put all of this together for other kids that may not have the same things that you have. And so we're going to ask him to bless these boxes, to bless you, and to bless every boy and girl who receives them. So let's pray. Father God, it just brings joy to our hearts and a smile to our faces to see you working in the lives of these young people in this place, in this church that you've raised up. So we commend these young people and their families to you, Lord, afresh and anew, and we praise you and thank you for their giving spirit. Father, we pray that you'd even now be preparing hearts in the
folks that are going to receive these precious gifts, that their lives might be brightened, that their lives might be changed, and that they too might come to know Jesus as Savior. For it's in that precious name we pray, the name above all names, the name of our Savior and Deliverer, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Great, kids. So what we're going to have the kids do, we're going to have everybody stay still, and we're going to have the kids put the boxes over here and go back to their room so they can be dismissed from there. So go ahead, kids. Thank you very much. That's awesome. And thank you, parents, for all the your contribution to this. We'll let you know. And don't forget, you don't have to, you know, miss the boat. If you missed it this week, you still got time. One more week. We'll collect them all in and do one more run. So thank you, everybody. While they're going out, do we have a video for, or a shot for next week? Come join us next week. We'll continue in the series. Those manipulating ones. I don't know if you know anybody like that, but come anyway. So anyway, may God bless you this week, and may his face shine upon you. May he give you grace and peace and mercy of those around you. And we thank you for this coming today. Again, visitors, stop by. We got a gift for you. Thank you, everyone. Amen.